Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Gloria, good morning.
Thank you, sir.
You look ravishing as usual,
thank you,
Gloria
my love.
Jean.
I so appreciate it.
Amen. Isn't she just gorgeous? I've been looking at that beautiful face for almost 57 years now.
Think about it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not over yet.
It ain't over yet.
That's right.
Welcome, everybody, to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Before I go any further, don't forget, download the free study notes for this week's broadcast on kcm.org/notes. It's really, really important to be able to follow along. You've got outlines and you can follow and teach from them. And well, Brother Copeland, I wouldn't want to steal your sermon. Are you kidding? You think these originated with me? I'm still preaching Kenneth Hagin word for word. Glory to God.
He said, it still works.
He said one day we were at a full gospel businessmen's meeting. Oh, thank you for him, Lord. And his table was out there, and my table was out there, and we had our books and tapes back in those days, you know. And we were standing there together, and he said, Kenneth, son, at least you ought to change the titles. I said, what other title is there, sir? So get those notes. It'll do you good. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you today for this broadcast. We're thrilled. We're thrilled with you, Lord Jesus. We are thrilled with you, Heavenly Father. We are thrilled with you, Holy Spirit, O greater one that dwells within us.
Praise
our teacher,
Jesus.
Our leader, our guide, our standby, our advocate, our comforter. Oh, the one who does the works. Glory be to God. Open the eyes of our understanding, Holy Spirit. Open the eyes of our very spirit beings to receive revelation from heaven and flood our hearts with light.
Thank you, Lord.
And we praise you for it. We believe we receive it by faith, and we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Let's open our Bibles today to the 11th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Back in 2014.
You mean this one?
Oh, glory. Uh-huh. I tell you what.
That's only Mark 4, though.
Oh, well, you only mark the things that are good, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
And I was preaching for John and Carol Arnott in Toronto. First time I'd preached there. And what wonderful people. I met them in Rome when we went to...
At the Pope's house.
Yeah. And for that visit with the Pope, I'd never met them. And just fell in love with them. Anyway, they said, we want you to come teach faith in our church. Well, I'm telling you, Gloria, the word of the Lord... You know, I'm just going along and, yes, I'll be glad to teach faith. And I got up there and I heard the Lord say, now I've never heard the audible voice of God. I'm open, Lord, you understand? I'm ready anytime. But you have the still small voice of your own spirit listening to the Holy Spirit that every born again child of God has. But then there's that more authoritative voice.
Yes.
That really, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, that comes in ministry, you know, and it's bolder and stronger. But, oh, it was strong enough to kind of took me back. He said, you're teaching faith from where you are now. And he said, new people don't have any idea what you're talking about. He said, go back to the basics. Go back
That's
to the fundamentals. And so I literally had to start over again. And so we went back to our Kenneth Hagin tapes, which are now on my phone. And instead of going to bed with that tape recorder like we used to do years and years and years and years ago, we go to bed with my phone laying. It went last night. I mean, laid right there, just laying there in the bed listening to Brother Hagin. And I had my phone laid up there on my chest, and Gloria's right here, and we're just praising God. She'd say, "Stop that. I heard something." And
we just, you know, I heard some things on there I'd not heard him say.
Well, and the revelation of it is just so rich.
Yeah.
And we've been listening to it. We've been listening to him for
a long
51 years. And so it's total immersion thing in the Word of God.
It is. It works.
And in the Word of faith, the Apostle Paul said, which we preach in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans.
Yeah.
Now, the fundamentals. What are you watching when you're watching the World Series? You're watching masters of the fundamentals of the game of baseball. What are you watching when you're watching the Super Bowl? Fundamentals of that game. The great, probably, well, you could say...
guys who have absorbed the fundamentals.
Yes. And practiced and,
yes.
And just don't ever quit practicing. Right. You don't ever get good enough to quit practicing.
That's right.
And Vince Lombardi, just one of the greatest football coaches in history. And the Green Bay Packers had been losing and losing and losing. And Coach got up there and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football. We're going to start at the very... these are pros. This is a football." And they had just lost the championship. They never lost another one under Vince Lombardi. He took them back to the basic fundamentals, and they drilled and they drilled and they drilled and they drilled until they were the best in the world. Now, think about an Olympian. This is especially pertinent to this this teaching and this idea. An Olympian is by himself or by herself, and the one that gets the gold is the one that just won't quit. All of them are fine athletes. No quit. You don't even get close to that unless you're a fine athlete. But it's the one that just won't quit. Presses through the pain, presses through. Fundamentals, fundamentals. It's not some cute new play. No. It's the basic fundamentals. Masters of the fundamentals. And the only way you do that is to never quit, never give up. I don't care what's in front of you. I don't care what you see. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you hear. You just don't quit. You just stay on the Word of God. Praise God. Healing belongs to me, and by faith I'm receiving it, and I'm not turning loose of it, and there ain't no way, Mr. Devil, you can break me loose from it. I say I'm healed. On my deathbed, I'll say, "Praise God, Jesus bore my sickness and bore my disease. Hallelujah. And I'm healed."
I refuse to turn it loose.
I'll go through the gates of heaven saying, "Thank God, I know I was healed, and I thank God for it." Thank God. I mean, just, Brother Hagin said this one time. He said, "If you're willing to stand forever, you won't be
That's right.
Very long."
I remember that, yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? Now, the basic fundamental teaching on faith, you'll find this same teaching in other of the Gospels, but Mark's account is so detailed and is what Jesus said here in the 11th chapter of Mark, is the basic fundamental of faith, number one. Now, let me back up just a moment here. What is faith? Now, that's a good question, particularly for someone that has never thought about it, or you know, people talk about faith, and a lot of preachers talk about faith, and so. But what is it? How can you label it? Well, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence." The classic Amplified translation says, "It is the title deed of things not seen." Here again, Amplified. "Things not revealed to the physical senses." It is a spiritual force. Excuse me. Faith is a spiritual force generated in the born-again human spirit. It is released through words. It is acted on with corresponding action to those words. Hallelujah. Faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. Let me say that again. Faith is a spiritual force generated in the reborn human spirit, released through the mouth with words, followed by corresponding action. Faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death.
Amen.
Now, spiritual forces, whether they're positive or negative, whether they're godly or ungodly, they are the most powerful forces that exist. Not mental forces, certainly not physical forces. Mental, spiritual forces. Love, hate, faith, fear, life, death, blessing, cursing. The Apostle James made this statement in his book, the oldest book in the New Testament. "With the mouth we bless, and with the same mouth we curse. My brethren, these things ought not to be." You ought to get, and I'm not talking about just using profanity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about cursed words.
Unbelief, doubt.
Yeah. And two, the glory of the most dangerous ones are the ones you say by habit. You say them all the time, you don't even hear them come out your mouth. And using death and fear and so forth to express yourself. Well, Brother Copeland, you know, I didn't mean it. It doesn't make a difference whether you meant it or not. Words are the most powerful things on earth. Their primary use was not communication. The primary use of words is a power release. And you can not be born again and have tremendous force of your words. You can injure somebody with words and they may never get over it.
That's true.
And in the Bible, they're compared to arrows. Well, yeah. In our present day, yeah. In our present day, we could compare them to bullets. You know. I wish I hadn't said that. Well, it's too late now. You've already said it. You can repent, and that's good. You should, and you ought to do it right on the spot. But they're already out there. And if it wasn't anything involved but you, you're just there at the home, and your home, and you shot your mouth off. But if somebody else is involved, it's like an accidental shooting. That just an illustration of how powerful spiritual forces are. And spiritual forces are released with your mouth. That's the way they're released. Now, this is good, but it's also very dangerous.
It's good if your mouth is good.
Yeah, amen. Now, let's go to this then. In Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Our cross-reference says, have the faith of God. That is very accurate, having the faith of God, because we know we're born again, not of corruptible seed, incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The faith of God is in the word of God. So when you and I receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, according to Ephesians 2, 8, it was through faith, through by grace. Let's look over there. I got the grace and the faith crossed up. Ephesians 2, 8. Glory to be to Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now we find out in Romans 12, 3, for he has dealt unto every man, referring to every born again man, the measure of faith. When did that happen? The moment you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life.
Amen.
So that faith was imparted into your spirit, and through that your old spirit literally died. It wasn't just forgiven, it died. You were crucified with Christ. Now, the moment that happened is when you were born again, and your spirit being, the inner man, you are a spirit like God. You have a soul made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions, the intellectual part of you. And you and your soul live in this flesh body. You're a triune being. You're an integrated system, spirit, soul, and body. All right. The moment that happened, you, your inner man, recreated. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Any man, any person in Christ is a new creature, a new creation.
That's right.
One translation says, a new species of being that never existed before that moment. Thrills me just to think about that.
Think about it.
Because we have the exact spiritual DNA as Jesus.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, and faith, now that faith doesn't go away. Now, there in the book of Romans, he said he has dealt unto every man the measure of faith. So each one of us, each born-again person, God received exactly the same measure of faith.
Now, what does that person have to do? Develop it.
Oh, yes. It can just lie there and do nothing and become just weaker and weaker and weaker. How does it come? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How does it develop? By acting on it and speaking it and thinking about it and meditating on it. And not just put it in there, you know, with everything else, blah, 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 blah. You know, it just thrilled me to death, scared me to death. Oh, glory to God, I'm just dying to go. Oh, didn't that tickle to... Well, you might as well say that just tickled the hell out of me. I mean, it's just as profane as that. Well, you know, Richard Roberts back, bless his heart. I talked to him yesterday. He and Lindsay are doing so good, and their healing ministry is just
praise God. Good.
Anyway, sweet brother. And he said, Brother Roberts said to him, Richard said, I wish you'd just get the hell out of my life. He said, son, that's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, I never heard that one.
Before Richard got born again. And he said, son, that's what I'm trying to do, is get the hell out of your life.
That's right.
But now see, Brother Copeland, I'd never say that. It's just as wicked in the sight of God to say, that's just killing me. I'm just afraid to go. Why? Because the fear is a spirit, and his name is Satan. So you're using him as, and all of his conversation is a byword, expressing yourself with death, sickness,
doubt,
disease,
fear.
Doubt, more fear than anything else. So, and fear is the opposite force of
faith. That's right.
Years ago,
it's dangerous too.
People don't really realize how dangerous it is because you're building it. You're building it. See, when you got born again, faith of God's in there.
Yeah.
Before you were born again, the fear was in there. It was the spiritual force dominant in your spirit being. And so it just produced fear all the time. It was just there. When you get born again, you no longer have a fountain of fear in there. It's not just producing that all the time. You now have a spiritual fountain of faith in there. The only way fear can get in there is for you to feed it in there and build it in there and talk it and build it and talk it and build it and talk it and build it and talk it and build it. And then it begins to produce anger and it's very, very, very difficult to maintain a walk of love love your neighbor as yourself and love the brethren even as ye love the brethren when you're full of fear and talk fear all the time. Because anger is the next step from fear. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the fundamentals of faith, the basics, the very basic fundamentals. What is it? How does it work? Where does it come from? How do you feed it? What causes it to do what it does, and the very, very, very bottom fundamentals. When you get the fundamentals right, you have a solid base from which to learn. There are things yesterday that I really would have liked to have said about faith, because it's just firing through my mind, and once I started to use that little pumpkin or whatever it is there, and the Lord said, "Now don't go off out in that direction. Just stay with the fundamentals.
Calm down."
Okay. But now let me show you how basic fundamentally that these things need to be. Back during World War II, and they were beginning to train pilots. They actually said, gentlemen, this is an airplane. Well, everybody knew that. And let me just take you through the drill. This is an airplane. And they're standing there thinking. This is a propeller. This is a wing. Now, everybody's followed me, right? Well, Brother Copeland, that's stupid. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute before you say that. This is an aileron. The aileron is attached to the wing. This is the fuselage. This is the empennage. This is the vertical stabilizer. This is the horizontal stabilizer. This is the elevator. I lost most of you after
I got the wing.
I got the wing part. But see, this is just basic fundamental stuff.
Yeah.
And you have to start out knowing that. The same thing makes a 747 fly that made that J-3 Cub back there, or that little yellow tailor craft back there in 1941-42. Now,
that's a good point.
The basic fundamental laws are the same. The spiritual law, the book actually says in the book of Romans, by what law? Works? No, the law of faith. Spiritual laws. A law can be depended on when you know and understand the elements of that law.
And it, Gloria, works every time.
It's dependable.
Yeah.
But you have to know the different pieces and the parts. See, a 747 would have flown in 1918, 1718, 1618, just the same as 2018.
Yes.
If you'd known the laws and each element of that law.
And applied those laws.
And you applied them correctly. If you don't apply them correctly,
that's right.
You stick it up like a dart.
Or you stay on the ground.
Oh, yeah. but see, what I'm pointing out here is step by step by step, you get the basic fundamental laws of faith. That same law works in the law of love. It works in the law of righteousness. It works in the spiritual force of wisdom. It works in all of these different areas because Jesus said the whole kingdom is big now. Get your catchers out. The whole kingdom of God is as if a man puts a seed in the ground. He goes to bed. He gets up night and day. The seed comes up. He doesn't know how. He just knows it will. But he has to know water, air, and sunshine.
And dirt.
Or it won't grow.
What about soil?
Well, if you've got the soil, you still have to have that basic elements, the basic fundamentals to make anything grow. You've got the soil, and it has to be good soil. That's good. And he compared that. He said, the sower sows the word. Mm-hmm. This is bad soil, bad soil, bad soil, good soil.
That's right.
But it's the basic fundamentals and you start off with the fundamentals of faith because it's impossible to please God without faith. You can't get born again without it. You can't live the life of a Christian life without it. You can't fight the good fight of faith without faith. So, now let's go back to Mark 11:22.
You can't live in the supernatural without it.
Impossible.
That's right.
Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, so this works for anybody, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, in his inner man, but shall believe. Believe what, Jesus? Believe that you're the Son of God? That's good, but that's not what he's talking about here. Believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Amen.
That is the basic fundamental law of faith. It's the basic fundamental law of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Both because fear is faith. When Adam had faith. When he fell, everything about him would turn into the opposite. Love turned into hate. All the spiritual forces of Satan, because Satan became the god of this world at that time. Now, what had been faith turned into fear. Because you remember, Gloria, the scripture says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you hear the word of God, faith comes and it draws you to him. When Adam heard the word of God, he ran and hid. He was separated from God spiritually. And then God entered a covenant with him, killed an animal, shed blood.
Covered the disobedience. Yeah.
And then he had a relationship with him again through covenant. Now, it is so vitally important to understand these are basic fundamental laws. Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10, 17. Hearing by the word of God. Fear cometh by hearing. And hearing by the lies of the devil. Mm-hmm. You listen to him, you'll say what he says. And when you say what he says, fear is the result. And it'll cause the very thing you fear the most to come into your life. Mm. Now, therefore, verse 24, I say unto you, Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And, now listen, this is a couple of, and is a conjunction. Joining together what was said to what's about to be said. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. That is the very basic fundamental foundation of faith. Let me read this to you again. What I shared with you yesterday, faith is a spiritual force generated in the reborn human spirit, released through the mouth with words. Faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. Spiritual forces are the most powerful forces on earth. Love, hate, faith, fear, all are released by words. Then Deuteronomy 30:19, I place before you blessing, cursing, life, death.
You choose, it says.
Yeah, you choose. You have the choice here in all of this. God's provided it. We have the choice. Just before we went on air, Gloria said, she said, Kenneth, faith is not an option because it says here, have it. It didn't say try, have it. It didn't say pray for it. It's a waste of your time to be praying for faith. Oh, Brother Copeland, I've been praying for faith for 10 years. Well, how did it work out for you? See, when you're born again, you already have it in your spirit. Did you get that? Well, we just talked about that. I mentioned it yesterday from Ephesians 2:8. We're saved through grace by faith, the gift of God. What is that gift? He has dealt unto every man the measure of faith. You know, that's powerful, Gloria. Think about this for a moment. In fact, I want you to say this after I comment on it. We have, since the day we got born again, we have in us a measure. Now, every one of us, the moment we got born again, got exactly the same measure. And like Gloria said yesterday, you know, but now what did you do with it? We start off exactly the same. I have, Gloria has, you have a measure of the same faith that put the stars in the heavens and slung this universe across the eons of time. I've got that same faith in me. Now, Gloria and I have been using our faith and exercising our faith for over 50 years. And we've had some great victories, and we've got our teeth kicked in a few times.
But not permanently.
No. See, we got knocked down, run over, kicked and hit and every other kind of thing. But you just come up swinging. I mean, just praise God.
We don't
quit. I remember.
You just don't quit.
You don't quit.
That's what you have to
do. What an Olympian does.
Yeah.
The fundamentals of faith, you develop those fundamentals and they get bigger and bigger and bigger, but they never change. I remember, this is years and years ago, it was right back in the very beginning of our ministry. I was preaching in a small church in Oklahoma City. And we were staying in the home of a very close friend of ours. She was a widow woman named Lavinia James. Mm-hmm. Lavinia. Lavinia was a
case.
There was only one Lavinia. Oh, Lord, every time I think about her, I miss her. She's in heaven. And we were staying in her home. I had a morning service at the church, and we were teaching all week long. And when I woke up that morning, I had the flu so bad I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't raise up. And I read the picture that I have in my mind is Gloria up in the bed with Lavinia James electric shaver. No way I'm going to turn her loose with a blade while I can.
Aww.
She had me by the head, like the hair of the head, like she's holding me up and shaving me. And I just got out of it. And, oh, I'm just sitting there, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Well, Brother Copeland, why didn't you just call it? No! This book says, by his stripes ye were healed. I'm preaching. I'm going. Amen.
Don't quit.
Some people say, I'm just too sick to go to the healing meeting. Well, now that's ignorance gone to seed.
That's right.
As Brother Hagin used to say. So, I mean, she shaved me. Lavinia left the room and Gloria dressed me. Mostly in the bed. I was that sick. Kind of, the two of them just hoisted me up and got me in the car, and here we went to the church. Got up there, and I stood up in that pulpit, and I caught a hold of the podium, and boy, the room started going around and around. I said, I'll be right back. The choir practice room was right behind the, just on the other side of the wall there. I went out and went in there, and I had a talk with Satan. And I expect everybody out in that auditorium heard me. I hit him with every scripture I could think of and shook that off, went back out there and caught a hold of that podium, and it's still kind of, you know, kind of swirling around. Glory to God, I preached on healing for an hour and 15 minutes. Praise God, walked out of that place that morning, every symptom gone and stronger than it was the day before.
Praise God.
Now, that's the way it works. You don't quit.
You don't quit.
Brother Copeland, what if you'd have died? Glory to God. The other side of that is stunning. Whoa. Yeah. The next face I'd see would be the face of Jesus. And I'd go through that gate saying, this is Mark 11:23.
You know, when you think about it, the fear of death has paralyzed a lot of people who are face concerned. Because you can't have the fear of death and faith at the same time.
No, you can't.
So if you're believing for healing from a terminal disease, you can't mix fear with it. You have to just stay on your faith. Keep the word pumping in your eyes, in your ears, saying it with your mouth, believing it with your heart. You'll come out if you do it.
And keep faith messages.
Yes. Amen.
Going all the time. 24 hours a day. Don't take a news break. Don't take a TV break. Not if you're fighting some disease. No, praise God, don't you do it. I'm talking to somebody right now. Gloria's talking to somebody right now. You totally immerse yourself in this word.
And you say what it says.
Yes, you do. Praise God.
Amen.
You don't see what you're doing. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is faith food. This is, you feed this in there.
This is food to live by.
Yes.
Words to live by. That's what that says.
F.F. Bosworth said, the reason your faith is so weak, you feed your flesh three hot meals a day, and you feed your spirit one cold snack on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, you go to a church like EMIC, you go to a church like World Changers, you go to a church like Bill Winston's church, and then Jesse Duplantis' church, all these powerful faith men and women of God, Mark and Trina Hankins, praise God, you go to a church like that, you're going to hear faith. I mean, they don't teach and preach
anything.
Yeah,
but you can't go from Sunday to Sunday without feeding your eyes on the Word of
that,
God.
And that's my point. That's just what you should be doing on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then you feed all week long.
All week long.
You don't eat once a week.
No.
You eat 7 days a week. Amen. And you just feed that faith, meditate on it, think about it. We were listening last night to a message of Brother Hagin, and he was talking about the woman with the issue of blood.
He probably taught it 30 years ago, 40 years ago?
It was, but the thing of it is, we listened to the same thing. I've heard him teach on that thousands of times. And last night I got something new. But why? Because you're still growing. You're still growing.
And
you're still feeding your faith. You're still working in it. You're still
and
like Gloria said, faith not optional.
That's right.
He didn't say pray for it. You're wasting your time if you're praying for it. Have it, he said. Have it. Okay, I take it. I have it.
What happens? You develop it. That's the way you develop.
Yes, you do.
That's the way it grows.
And you're talking about fear. 1 John chapter 4, 16th verse, you fear perfected love, growing love. Now, you grow it the same way on the Word of God. When you're studying faith, you're growing love because faith worketh by love. If you're not dealing with that, the faith isn't working anyway.
They go together.
But that when that is being developed in your life, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. I love my neighbor as myself, fulfilling all the law and the prophets. I love the brethren even as you love the brethren, Lord Jesus, fulfilling your commandment in the New Testament,
amen.
The commandment of love. Glory to God.
Praise God.
And I'm using love by faith. And when you develop that, it casts out fear. It gets rid of it. It doesn't just manage it.
Or cover it.
Yeah. It literally flushes. The word cast there is the Greek word for flush. It just flushes it out of there. It finally just comes on up in there and comes on. It just boils that fear out of there and it's gone. Praise God.
Praise God.
You can stand right in the face of the devil with your knees knocking and saying, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I adjure you by Almighty God, get out of my house and off my body.
And guess what'll happen?
He flee.
Yes,
James
he
4, 7.
He has no choice.
Says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Oh, glory be to Jesus.
Are you wound up?
I am.
We're going to loose you and let you go.
Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Let's go back to Mark 11, 22. We're talking about the fundamentals of faith, the very basic fundamentals. Now, as I mentioned Monday, I learned this. I heard it the first time from my grandson, Jeremy. You've seen him a lot of times on the broadcast. And it struck me because I was right involved in teaching and preaching the fundamentals of faith. And he's the one that reminded me, what are you watching when you're watching the World Series?
Mm-hmm.
What are you watching when you're watching the Super Bowl, the U.S. Open? The masters of the fundamentals. And you get that way through practice, 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 and you just stay with it and stay with it and stay with it. When everybody goes to the locker room, you just keep practicing, you just keep practicing.
You don't quit.
You don't quit. You totally immerse yourself in the fundamentals of that game and what you're doing until you become the best you can possibly be at it. This is what you have to do in spiritual forces. And so the very basic fundamentals. Let me say this again. In fact, before we read Mark 11:22, let's go over to the book of Romans. I quoted this yesterday, but I want you to put your eyes on it. I want you to see it. And from the third chapter of Romans, the 27th verse, look at this. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith.
Yeah.
Now remember this, Galatians 5:6. Faith worketh by love. No love, no faith.
That's right.
So the what is grace? Okay. Well, we're right here. Let's go. Let's look right here in the fourth chapter, 16th verse. Therefore, it is of faith, so that it might be by grace. So, no love, no faith, no faith, no grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all.
Amen.
Now, and as Gloria said yesterday, faith is not optional. And this is the reason why, Gloria. It is so plain. It is so simple. You really have to have help to misunderstand this. The faith, Gloria said, faith is not optional. Well, it's impossible to please God without faith. Why? Because of the grace. What is grace? Undeserved favor? Yes. Grace is God's overwhelming desire to treat you and to treat Gloria and to treat me and every other human being alive like sin never happened.
Amen.
I remember the commercial where all the people got the green trucks and they come in and they clean up everything. And I was watching that one day, and it said, like it never even happened. I hollered out loud, Gloria, that's faith. That's faith like sin never, I mean, that's grace like sin never happened. That's what God said, I am here, brought out your transgressions. I remember them no more. Glory
Praise
to God.
God.
Hallelujah.
Like it never even
like it
happened.
Never even
Isn't that
happened.
Wonderful? Oh.
Yes, it is. That's grace.
Ooh.
Well, now.
Something to be grateful for.
So that's the reason it is so vitally important to know and practice constantly, all the time, that the very fundamentals of faith. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, unto this mountain be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Praise God.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. Now you can see why this is so important, Gloria, because if you're not walking in love, your faith just isn't working.
That's right.
In the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he just got through laying out the 9 gifts of the Spirit, manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And he begins the 13th chapter, even though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm nothing but a lot of noise. And he just goes right through there and just wipes out all of those gifts of the Spirit that he just listed in the 12th chapter. Mm. Well, why is that true? Because they don't work without faith. And faith cometh worketh by love.
That's right.
Huh? These are manifestations of God. Who is love?
That's right.
Amen. That's the reason it's so vitally important that you understand. And that love is not optional. It is a commandment. Yes, sir. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Yes, sir. I'll walk in love.
And it's a blessing. It brings blessing to you when you walk
measure.
In love. It opens doors.
When it becomes a commandment to you, it becomes real.
No choice but to walk
Amen.
In love.
So now, the fundamentals of faith. Now, I want to give you these five fundamentals of faith, and so you can be outlining them if that's what you're doing. But because of the time restraints we have on this broadcast, I want to get these out and get them on your study notes. The number one fundamental of faith: believe it in your heart, then say it with your mouth. Number two, act on your faith. James 1:22 and 2:14-17, faith without corresponding action is dead. Then we'll study number three, thy faith hath made thee whole, from Mark 5:25-34. What this woman did. Number four, faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. Mark 11:25, Romans 5:5, Galatians 5:6, and Ephesians 4:32. Nobody can, one cannot receive Abraham's blessing with Thomas's faith.
That's right.
And we'll go down through these. Romans 4:17-20, and then John chapter 20, verses 24-29. Now then, believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. Let's go, we've read Mark 11:23, let's go to Romans 10:10.
Can I say something?
Yo, please do.
And don't say anything different.
Absolutely never. If you catch yourself saying something, stop.
Repent.
Right then. But do like David, put a watch over my mouth that I do not sin against it. Oh, Brother Copeland, that couldn't be sin. Really? Let me just check out something here. Just want to make sure. Oh, yeah. I remember that Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin.
Yeah. Unbelief, sin.
Yeah, it is.
Doubt,
yeah.
Sin.
Praise God. We'll deal with that.
That's powerful.
If we have time, we'll spend some time on that. Now, let's go. Romans 10:10. The 10th chapter of Romans. This is a great faith chapter, because the word of faith is what the Apostle Paul preached, and he said so in the 8th verses. Now, 10th verse. For with the heart, with the inner man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, remember Ephesians 2:8, we're saved.
Yeah.
By grace through faith. It was faith that received it. It was faith that released it. And this is a basic fundamental. You believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth. That 9th verse, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe it in the heart, say it with a mouth. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Now the Apostle Paul is including himself with the church here at Corinth. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Now, can't you see that in Mark 11:23?
Yeah.
Where Jesus said, believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth, you will have what you say.
Amen.
So now, let's go to Matthew chapter 12. This one is this one is just it's when I first really saw this and what it was saying, it just kind of stunned me. I was just, you know, when Gloria and I got born again, both of us scripturally illiterate, we didn't know anything about the Bible. And I began to see certain, well, we both had heard religious things. But when I saw this one in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, look at that 37th verse. For by thy words thou shalt be justified or made right with God, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
What are you saying?
Yeah, it's not left up to God. It's what's in your heart coming out your mouth. Now let's go to the Gospel of Luke. And here again, this is Luke's account of the same teaching of Jesus, but he points out something here that in the 6th chapter, I want you to see this, because it is so detailed, so plain.
Where are you going?
Luke chapter 6 and 43rd verse. Now notice this. Now get the impact of this. Remember, the sower soweth the word. Everything is a seed. Every action, every word, there's nothing on this planet alive that didn't come from a seed. A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. You can tell what is in a person's heart, what is in their inner man, by what comes out of their mouth. Now, if they're saying the same thing you say, you don't pay any attention to that. Yeah. But when you've had your mind renewed to the Word, and you're so aware. Well, I came home from school one day that the ORU and Gloria was out in the yard hanging out clothes.
Those were the other days.
Boy, yeah. And I came in and she said, so when I came in, she came in the house. She said, I want to tell you what I got today. She said, believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. She said, Kenneth, I got it today. We have to believe that everything that comes out of our mouth comes to pass. I had gotten the same thing at school that day.
Praise.
I said, glory to God, Jesus. You've given that to Gloria and me both. Look at that. We have to come to the place where, this is a law, that everything comes out of our mouth comes to pass.
And from so, that time, we paid attention to everything we said. Oh, and
yeah.
Still do.
So, as your mind is renewed and you hear someone say something, well, you don't just jump all over them unless you know them real well. And then you don't jump all over them. You just worse.
Or if you say something, you just correct yourself.
Oh, yeah, there. Right then. Yeah. But you'll hear someone and you're thinking, now, that's not what the Word of God says about this. Because your mind's been renewed to the Word, and you're thinking, they're thinking, oh, man, that flu's coming. I'm going to tell you what, and they're saying this year it's some kind of strain nobody ever heard of before, and, you know, it come from Timbuktu or wherever it was, and then, you know, I'm not saying, and, you know, we're always the first to get it. Oh, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, and we'll get it. See?
Yeah. So, you know what else? Someone's thinking or saying That's extreme. That's just too extreme. Every word comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
They're saying it's just too extreme.
But 2 Corinthians says very plainly in the 10th chapter, let's turn over there.
Okay, let's do it.
I believe the Spirit. No. Let me finish this right here, and we'll go to that. Don't let me forget that. Every tree is known by his own fruit. Now, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure or deposit, what he's putting in his spirit, bringeth forth that which is good. Good in, good out. Junk in, junk out. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Now remember, Hebrews 3:12 says, calls an evil heart of unbelief. Now, unbelief is not non-belief. Unbelief is believing the wrong thing. And what comes out of your mouth is a result of what you're believing. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you just told me what you believe. Huh?
Yeah.
For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. He can't help it. You can't help it. I can't help it. Gloria cannot help that.
Unbelief in, unbelief out.
That's right.
That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Whatever's in here is coming out your mouth. And whatever comes out the mouth is what you have. Your life, my life, everybody's life. What we have today is a product of what we said yesterday. Mm-hmm. No, let me change that. It's a product of what we believed and said yesterday. Amen?
Amen.
Now, thank you, Lord. You wrote down a note on that. What did you say? What were we going to?
The last thing was Hebrews 3:12, wasn't it?
No, when you said, what was it she said to you?
By your words? Oh, junk in, junk out?
No. 2 Corinthians 10. Yeah, thank you, Tim. 2 Corinthians 10. Let's go there. Now, this is for people that say, well, you know, in the first place, Gloria said, well, now that's a bit extreme. You mean every word? Every word?
What it said?
It said right, we just didn't read it. It right there in the book of Matthew, it said, and you'll stand judgment for every idle word that comes out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an idle word is a faithless, useless word. All that scared to death, can you know, and all of that idle, non-words not originating from faith. We can joke and have a good time because a merry heart does good like a medicine. And on all of that, proceed from a life of faith. Those are not idle words. Now, let's look here, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations or reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God or what you know from the Word of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, every thought. What you think is what you say.
Praise God.
Do you hear me? What you think is what you say. And what you say is what you get.
That's right. That's right.
Glory to God. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
I don't
amen.
Preach myself amen. Slap happy there to Clay. Hey, glory to God. Now, real thanksgiving is praise. And praise and giving thanks is the big gun of faith. Paul and Silas, in that dungeon. They'd been beaten nearly to death. They prayed, but they praised God.
Yes, they did.
Oh, Gloria. Right in the middle of that place, they began to give thanks.
It wasn't silent.
And praise God. And it was so loud, they sang so loud, the prisoners heard them.
That's right.
Now, you can't do that without faith. It takes a faith in God and a faith in His love that's so strong that you're just not moved by what you feel or
that's
what
right.
you see. You're moved only by what you believe. And I believe this book.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
And thanksgiving. Oh, it is so powerful.
Praise God.
The 8th and the 9th Psalm. It'll still the enemy. Now think about this, Gloria. God inhabits the praise of His people.
Mm-hmm.
When we pray, we come into His presence. When we praise and worship,
yes,
He comes into ours.
Praise. Oh. Isn't that good? Praise
Oh,
God.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship You and praise You. We give thanks today, especially in this nation. Our nation is being turned around and to the casual look those that not aware of spiritual things and not aware of what's going on around them, it looks like the nation is just going down the drain. No, a million times no, it's not going down
That's
the
right.
drain. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus.
Thank You, Lord.
We praise You for it, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Gloria, let's look here in the, well, let's first read our golden text in Mark 11:22. Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. When you stand praying, forgive, glory to God, if you have aught against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Well, what you do unto others is what they do unto you. A spiritual law.
Yeah.
Now, let's look here in the book of Ephesians. I want to show you something. Now, he said, you have what you say. Now, verse 29 of the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, look at the 5th chapter and the 4th verse. Let's back up and start with the first verse. Be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Foolish talk, what's that? Idle words.
Mm-hmm.
Nor foolish talking, nor jesting. You know what jesting would be? A dirty joke.
Yeah.
You know, humor is good. And something that's clean and it's, you know, it brings joy and a smile to your face. But he's talking about nasty jokes, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks.
Yeah.
If you're having trouble with your words, just start praising God.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, put a watch over my mouth. I don't sin against you with my words. Amen?
Amen.
Remember this. Oh, I need the protection of the 91st Psalm. Oh, God, I needed it. How do you invoke the 91st Psalm? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, but on the side of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord.
He is my fortress.
He is my fortress. He is my God.
Yes.
In Him do I trust. And then He will deliver me.
That's what it says.
That's what it says. Right here. Fill your mouth with thanksgiving.
Praise God.
Amen. I remember, Gloria, when that disc blew up in my back. Man, I'll tell you, I fell on the floor. I was taking a shower. It was Sunday morning after Saturday night, we closed Southwest Believers Convention. And man, that thing blew up in my back, knocked me to the floor, and I couldn't get up. I've never experienced pain like that. Anyway, later, I got out there out on the back porch. So, and I'm praising God. I got out there. Oh, that thing hurt. Oh, it hurt. Well, my left leg was hurting me. Oh, dear Lord. And Brother Keith said, praise God, my right leg don't hurt. Praise God. Yeah. You know, and this is big.
Praise something.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. See, pain is in the thought life. We can prove that because it puts you to sleep. You don't feel it. It's in the brain. It's in the same area where you think. And so I'm out there on that back porch. Oh, this thing is hurting. And I got two heating pads and wrapped them around my left leg and turned them up as high as I could get them. Took the sash out of a couple of my robes and tied them on there. Had my leg jacked up here like that. Turned them up just make it hurt more than that other hurt. You know, trying to do something. And I started praising God. Oh, praise God. I want to thank you for that green grass. I want to thank you for the blue sky. I want to thank you for this wonderful home you've given glory to me. I want to thank you. Just shouting just loud as I could. Just at the top of my voice. And it would ease down. I said, oh, glory. And it would kick right back in. But the louder I got, the stronger it came against that. Just praising, just shouting at the top of my voice. And as long as I would do that, it had come down. So now I experienced a little bit there of what Paul and Silas experienced. Now, of course, what I had don't hold a light to what had happened to them. But it's the same principle. Mm-hmm. But you have to do it by faith. You have to do it by faith. You have to have faith in, I don't know why you let this happen to me. Oh, shut up. That's idle words from hell. That's just blasphemous to accuse God of letting something happen to you.
That's
or
right.
To accuse Him of putting it on you. Don't ever do that. That's an oppression of the devil, glory to God. Now, put thanksgiving in your mouth. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Let's go over. Now, we're going to get into something here in believing that we receive. In the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. Now, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation there, the Greek word is unselfishness. Be careful for nothing. Now that's, that word careful there means care-filled. The Classic Amplified translates it as anxious, anxiety, mm-hmm. Worry.
Fear.
Worry is a sin, Gloria.
Yes, it is.
It's a sin. Because Jesus said, why take your thought for tomorrow? Why are you laying there worried about it? There ain't nothing you can do about it.
You can't worry in faith.
No, you can't do it.
It's impossible.
No, because all worry is fear-based. It's death-based.
That's right.
So, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious or fearful or worry about anything. but in everything. Say it with me. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with
thanksgiving,
let your request be made known unto God. Now listen, John 16, 23 and 24, Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Ask and receive that your joy may be made full. Now, I go before him, Mark 11, 23 and 24.
Yeah.
What say it, believe it in your heart. Whatsoever things you desire, believe and receive them, you shall have them.
It also lets you know that he wants your joy full.
Yes, absolutely. And here he said, rejoice.
Yeah.
So you take the word. I mean, I do it all the time. I just a couple of nights ago, I got up out of bed and went in something on my vision board there, and I got up and went in there and read John 16 and read it, but before the Lord and before my own eyes, and that picture I had on my vision board there, for the continuing miracle that I need in my low back. I'm not just healing. I'm healed. I don't have any sickness, disease, and hadn't had for years. But that got damaged in there. There's bones that are damaged in there and so forth. And my miracle is happening.
Your miracle.
It is happening.
Yes,
see?
It is.
So, and anyway, and I just read those verses right there. Well, he said, whatsoever I ask the Father in his name, he'd give it me. Therefore, whatsoever thing I desire when I pray, believe I receive them and I shall have them. Well, on what grounds? I've asked. And he said it would. And he said he would. His word's all I need.
That's right.
But now I don't need to go back in there and say, you know, I didn't get it. I'm asking again. No. After that, what do you do? Let's go back over there again. Let's go back to it again. Philippians 4. Be anxious or worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You thank Him for it. Oh, God, I thank you. I have a new spine from my brain stem to my tailbone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what little dab of discomfort and so forth is in there now? I could care less. My Uncle Pete, oh, I tell you what, Pete Owens, I mean, that man, he didn't know what pain was. Pete, all I ever saw. And Uncle Pete, I had worse than that on my upper lip. I don't care if
he didn't get any sympathy.
No, if he was hurting so bad he had tears coming out of his mouth, he'd just smile. Hey, what a man. Anyway, with thanksgiving, the classic Amplified says, continue to make your wants known by giving thanks. You have prayed, you have received it in Jesus' name by faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is mine. I own it.
That didn't say continue to ask, really.
No.
When you think about it, it said continue to make your wants known. Well, I'd take that, continue to praise that you got it.
Yeah,
right?
That's what they're saying. That's exactly what he's saying here. Be anxious about it. Don't be worried about anything. But in everything by prayer. Now, you need to start with prayer.
Thanksgiving.
You need to start with John 16, 23 and the other prayer scriptures and so forth and stand on them. Hey, sweetheart, let me tell you something. The Word of God is the answer to the prayer.
That's right.
The promises of God and the facts of God. By His stripes you were healed is not a promise. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
You can stand on that
forever.
Glory to God. It belongs to you in the name of Jesus. Now, 1 John, turn there really quick. 1 John chapter 1 if we walk in the verse 7 in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins and we feel better about it and don't feel so sorry and so guilty, no, it doesn't have anything to do with your feelings. Mm-hmm. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When? Right then.
Yeah.
I've done it when I felt so bad, I just missed it, and just tears in my eyes. And I told Him one night, I said, I'm not going over there and preach tonight. I can't do it. I got mad that afternoon. I won't go into what. But
surely not at me.
No, dear heart, no. But, and I said, I'm not going over there. He said, why? I said, you know why? He said, no, I don't know why. I just explained. I said, I'm not going over there and stick up my big bony number one finger and say, thus saith the Lord, after getting mad and saying what I did. He said, didn't you confess that? Yeah. He said, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Hmm.
Boy, it struck me, Gloria. And I've remembered that until this very day.
That's been a long
time ago.
Has
nothing to do with the way I feel. It has to do with what He promised. I can stand up there, particularly on the sin of unforgiveness, and that's the big one.
Hmm.
That's the one He mentioned. Forgive if you have aught against Him.
That's right.
That it says so. Sir, I confess the sin of, don't call it your problem, call it by its nasty name. I confess the sin of unforgiveness in the name of Jesus and, oh, please forgive me. And I receive my forgiveness, sir. Thank you very much. And now, sir, I receive my cleansing from all unrighteousness. Thank you very much, sir. I'm forgiven and I'm cleansed. Thank you very much, sir. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I obey orders. Now, the feelings may still be just roaring at you. That's flesh. That doesn't have anything to do with, but by faith, I had to do it by faith. I know He heard me. Because it's His will, it's His word. I know He heard me. And when we know He hears us, we have the petition that we desired of Him. Now what do? You just back off and say, praise you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Praise
Lord.
You, Jesus.
Yes,
all unrighteousness has been cleansed out of me. Now thank God I stand before You righteous in Your eyes because I'm righteous. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not righteous in myself, but in Him I am. He didn't, Gloria, He didn't create any unrighteous new creatures. He didn't create any unworthy new creatures. Because
right.
We were created in the image of Jesus.
Praise
Isn't that
God.
Wonderful?
Yeah, it is.
Now, you can shout and give thanks over that. Big gun of faith is thanksgiving. I mean, it'll overcome you. Fear, it'll you can start screaming, you're praising God and dancing before the Lord. It's called a sacrifice of praise, you know. You need to praise till you get out beyond your comfort zone. When you get to where, ooh, do I want to do that? That's when you need to throw a wall-eyed fit. Just like David, just praise and thanks until your wife says, that's the most vulgar thing I've ever seen. That's what she said. And you remember what he said? Woman, I'm going to get more vulgar still. He's out there in the street.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
No, he wasn't acting like a king. He just slung off all of his royal robes and got out there in the street. And he's just like with the common people. He's just out there shouting and praising and dancing in glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise.
Hallelujah.
Praise. You praise long enough, the spirit of worship comes. And when that spirit of worship comes, just stay there. The glory will fall.
Praise.
And in that glory is healing and mercy.
Mm.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that wonderful?
Praise.
Oh, Father, we just worship You and praise You. How much time have I got?
Thank you, Father.
In this last minute here, the Apostle Paul said in verse, excuse me, Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind. See, and you do that, you start praising, you start giving thanks, the peace of God comes, and it'll garrison up around your mind. It'll keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've got so much pain. It's not going to work this time. No, don't be thinking that. You've already taken John 16:23 before the Father, and it's yours. You've received it. Don't you allow that come into your mind. I don't care if you dream something about dying during the night. You get up from there, glory. Don't you tolerate that in your mind. You say this right now. My mind is my mind.
My mind is my mind.
I think what I tell it to think.
I think what it thinks what I tell it to think.
I think what's true.
Honest.
Just.
Pure.
Lovely.
Good report.
Hallelujah.
Victory report.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, it's true that old girl... No, that's not a good report. Fix it. Let's go back to our Mark 11:22-25. We're talking about the fundamentals of faith, the basics. I heard Charles Capp say one time, he said, you can't build the roof first.
That's right.
You can't go there, and you can't build the walls first.
That's right.
You have to build the foundation first. The foundation is not what we think about faith. The foundation is not what we'd like faith to be. The foundation is what Jesus said about it. And he said this in two of the other Gospels, but in Mark's Gospel, he talked about it in such detail that, of course, this is the classic fundamental of faith, the basic fundamentals. We're going back to the very basic fundamentals. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, or start believing when you pray. I want to emphasize that in today's message. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, remember, number one, basic of basics, fundamental of faith. Believe it in your heart, then say it with your mouth. Number two, act on your faith. James 1:22. Let's go there quickly. And James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Now, this is a way you build faith, glory. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith will come. There's no such thing as faith that won't come.
That's right.
But it's on the word of God.
You know, you could put this Bible on your chest every night and sleep with it, and it wouldn't give you faith.
Of course not.
You got to put it in your eyes, in your ears, and if you want to use that, you have to say it out your mouth.
Yes. And then act
it's
like
very
it's
simple.
True.
Yeah.
Corresponding action. That's
you
what
you receive.
This, you remember Jesus' half brother. James was Jesus' half brother. Same mother, different fathers. Mm-hmm. Now, listen to that. be ye a doer of the word. Act on it, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Yep. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goes away straightway, forgetting what manner of man he was. Now, what does that mean? We look in the mirror every day, but, and I've used this illustration for years, unless you, with the intention of finding out exactly how long your nose is, you look at it every day all of your life and you can't tell anybody how long it is.
That's right.
But if you go to the Word of God, you just read it and read it and read it, but you don't plan on acting on it, you don't really know what's in there. And that's what he's saying. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, let's go down to the second chapter, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and has not works? Let's use the word corresponding action. Acting like the Word of God is actually true. Taking it as quickly as you would the word of a highly trusted friend and act on it. My dad, I tell you, you couldn't hold a gun on my dad and make him lie. I saw him turn down millions of dollars in a courtroom one day with an answer, yes, instead of no. Hmm. And he got to keep his job.
That was his role.
I said, Daddy, my goodness, wasn't that hard? He said, no, Kenneth, it's a lie. It's that's over. Now, my dad told me something, I'd go act on it. I didn't have to have it in writing. I knew what he said was true. Well, how much more the Word of God.
Amen. Yeah.
What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and has not corresponding action? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not corresponding action, is dead. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 5, Gloria. This is the account of the woman that was healed of the issue of blood. Verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now listen, what we read in Mark 11, 23, what Jesus said, he'll have whatsoever he says. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.
The Amplified says she kept saying it.
Well, there's two Greek words. One of them translated say is lego. Means to continue to say it. The Lego set, the little building blocks, I think of that every time I see it. Well, you're building faith every time you say it, every time you say it, every time you say it.
Yeah.
Straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and then she felt in her body that she's healed of that plague. She didn't feel it and believe it.
No, that didn't make her believe.
Now then.
She believed the word.
Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or dunamis power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou would touch me. He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague.
Amen.
Now, look at verse 28. For she said, look at verse 34, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Can you see it? What she said was her faith speaking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, my power made you whole, even though we know it did. No, there were other people out there touching him, but that power in him was passive until she touched him with the touch of faith. Now, what did she do? All right, the first thing was she heard. Mm-hmm. Now, she heard of Jesus. What did she hear? We know it was the Word because it made faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Glory to hear. The Lord dropped this in my heart just in the last few days because I was questioning about this in my own heart and questioning the Lord about it. And it just dawned on me. What did Jesus preach? Every sermon He preached, He started it with the one we read in the fourth chapter of Luke, the 18th verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's called me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised or sick, and the acceptable year of the Lord, which is supernatural debt cancellation. So now, somebody told her what He preached. Somebody told her what He said. I'm convinced of it.
And then she got moving?
Yeah, it got her. She said, well, He's anointed. He is anointed. He is anointed. All I need to do is touch His clothes. I'll be made whole.
Yeah.
Amen.
She
could have sat right there and died in that room. But what happened? She heard, then she believed she would be made whole. She believed it before she felt any better. She believed it.
Yeah.
She could have sat there and said, I can't go out there. I can't do that. I'm bleeding now. It's Levitically unlawful for me to be in the presence, outside with this issue of blood. And there's Jairus. He's the leader of synagogue. He's right there. But Jesus, He's got the authority to stone me. I can't go out there. I just can't do it. I know if I touch His garment, I'll be made whole. But I just can't do it. She'd have died right there in that room. No corresponding action.
That's right. She would have made the wrong decision.
Yes, she would. Now, what else do we know about her? Well, she had suffered many things of many physicians. Suffered. She suffered them. What did they? We don't know. Were they cut on her? We don't know what happened to her. But
apparently
she had.
It wasn't. Apparently, it wasn't pleasant.
No, it wasn't.
She suffered
with it.
Yeah.
Not only that, she flat broke. Spent all that she had on this cursed disease.
But then she heard of Jesus.
Now, we know, faith doesn't work in an unforgiving heart. She had forgiven every physician. She had forgiven everybody. We don't know whether she's married or not. We know she's been in this mess for 12 years. Oh, a lot of things can happen to you when you're sick and your skin and bones, you're bleeding and you get irritable.
Yeah.
And now she's a prisoner in her own household. She can't get outside. She just can't.
Go over again the four things that she did.
Okay. Now, she didn't do this. First thing, she heard.
Yeah.
But now, here's the things that she did. She believed she'd be made whole.
Yeah.
She said, Lego, she kept saying.
Yeah.
Then she came and touched.
She acted on
it. She acted on it, Gloria. Yeah. She got out there in that street.
When it was illegal for her to be out there.
Yeah.
And she was taking a chance, but she
now here we can tell from what it says. She intended to sneak out there and touch that garment, get that healing, and skinny right back out of the way.
Before anybody ever knew it.
But Jesus
knew.
Now notice, I want you to see this. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Jesus didn't know she was there.
She did no more than that to his robe. She touched it.
Here's what I'm... This is the reason I think she'd heard... I just know she'd heard that message about the anointing. He's a rabbi. That prayer shawl is out from under his garment.
Mm-hmm.
She knows what that represents. And she's thinking, if I can just touch that anointed shawl, I'll be made whole. Jesus stopped. So now, see, he's already going to Jairus' house to raise his daughter from the dead because Jairus spoke faith to him. You come lay your hands on her, she shall live. Jesus never said a word. He just took off with him. So what happened here? Faith put him on the move toward Jairus' house, and faith out of this woman stopped him right in the middle of the street.
Okay, she did four things. She said it. She did it.
No, first she believed it.
Yeah, she heard it.
She believed it. Then she said it.
Uh-huh.
Then she came and touched.
Yeah.
Then she told it.
She received it, and she told it.
She told it.
Listen to this. You'll remember this, I'm sure. Brother Hagin taught us, if anyone anywhere would do what she did that day, he could receive anything from the Lord.
Anything from God. I don't care what it is, you can receive
it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, it's so important to tell it. The devil will do his best to talk you out of that. More people fall from a counterattack than they do on the first ones. Well, I can't say more, but a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he'll come right back at you with the same symptom. He'll come right back at you with that blood start up again. Oh, no, no, I thought I was healed. No, it can't be.
They quit too soon.
And he'll strap it right back to you. The same unbelief that got it in the first place will put it on you again. No. You tell it. Glory to God. Jesus healed me in the street the other day. He healed me. I am healed, Gloria. I am healed. And Mr. Devil, you're not putting that back on me. In the name of Jesus, I do not have that. Wow, Brother Copeland. That sounds like something like metaphysical religion. You're in denial. You better believe, praise God, I'm in denial. I don't deny the existence of the sickness. I deny its right to exist in my body.
That's right.
Oh, what unpreached me happy glory to God. Yes, by the eternal almighty God, Satan, this body don't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Jesus. He bought and paid for it. Glory to God.
Amen.
It's a living sacrifice. Oh, shout amen, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Somebody was just healed of stomach cancer right then while I was talking.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise
glory
God.
Be to God. Yes, amen. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Glory to God. Tell it. Testify to it.
That's what
I remember the testimony of a person. Two of them came to my mind. And one of them came out of, let's see. Now, this one, this Brother Hagin told this one. There was a woman that he laid hands on. She had a big garter, just a great big one there. And they had testimonies then come up the next service. And she came up and said, I just want to thank God for healing me last night. And that thing hanging out there. And everybody, huh? And so the next night, she came back up there again in the testimony. I just want to thank God. I'm going to give my testimony again tonight for Jesus healing this, healing my body and healing this, taking this garter off.
Amen. Yep. That's what she did.
And the pastor told Brother Hagin, he said, I'm going to put a stop to that. Brother Hagin said, you better not. Well, it's obvious she's not healed. He said, Every night. Every night. She'd get up and say the same thing. People just got to thinking she's just crazy. She did this night after night after night after night. And then one night she came up there and it is gone.
Praise God.
See, she just kept telling. She just kept testifying
to
what she believed.
She said.
Not what she felt, but what she believed. Now, here's the testimony of Charlie. He's Cherokee Indian, blind. And he was I'm sure it's Brother Roberts' meeting, and Brother Oral had laid hands on him. And he said, glory to God, praise God, thank God, I'm not blind anymore. Praise God. Thank you that I'm not blind anymore. And he's going around testifying, I'm not blind anymore. Oral Roberts laid his hands on me. Thank God I'm not blind.
He took it, didn't he?
And they been having to lead him around. And then finally, people got irritated at him, mad at him. His family just wanted to, you know, knock him in the head. No. I'm fine. Praise God. Thank God. I'm not blind anymore. Glory. What's he doing? Calling things to be not as though they were. He's talking his faith.
And he told it.
Yes, sir.
And he was
told it.
On his faith.
And he went on with this and went on with this and went on with this. Now, he was... He was in the doctor's office and just sitting there waiting for his doctor's appointment and screamed, I can see! I can't see!
Glory to God.
The first healing miracle of Jesus, the nobleman's son, was not instant. That young man began to amend when Jesus said it.
From that hour.
From that hour. Isn't that amazing?
That's a good, that's revealing.
Yeah, it is. And that's one you need to study. Oh, man. Gloria and I got into that just a few weeks ago. We heard Brother Hagin teaching on it, and we stopped and we got talking about that, and God started unveiling things about that. Jesus said to the man, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Well, it was in Cana. It was where Jesus turned the water into wine. Well, the man took his instruction immediately. He said, come, sir, or my son die. He said, go your way. Your son lives. Well, what happened? Hey, Gloria, you know what happened. Everybody in Cana's talking about this. Everybody. Sure. You ought to have been there. I was there. I poured the pot. I saw it. I put water in that pot. Wine came out. I saw it. Don't you know it's all over Cana? It's the first miracle Jesus did. And then, man,
it was at a wedding, so lots of people.
Oh, yes. They're screaming and hollering it all over Cana. And it's all over the place. And this man says, well, if he can do that, he can heal my boy.
Yeah.
But he's thinking, boy, I'd like to see something. Boy, I'd like to see something like that. I could believe this if I could see that. I know I could. But Jesus corrected him. He immediately took his correction. Come, sir, ere my son die. Jesus said, go your way. Your son liveth.
Praise God.
It's just marvelous.
Oh,
this book.
Wonderful.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes, it is. That's good.
That fourth one, faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. We went through that. We spent some time on that. This last one, one cannot receive Abraham's blessing with Thomas's faith.
No.
Abraham said, it's according to your word, considered not his own body. Thomas said, unless I see it, unless I feel it, I will not believe. Jesus appeared and said, behold my hands, put your hands in here, put your hand in my side. He said, my Lord, my God. He said, Thomas, you believe because you can see. Blessed are they
that believe
and have not seen. You're waiting to see it, you'll never get it. Did we get somewhere today? Give the Lord praise.
Praise God.
Give Him great
thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I receive it. It's
a lot
good.
Of you right now, I can just sense it.
I almost
see it in the Spirit. Just praise healings God. Just all over the world
thank
right
you,
now.
Just
going
it.
On.
Take
I see it. I take it.
It.
I have it now. I just take it. Glory to God. Gloria and I'll be back in just a moment.
I never heard anyone teach exactly what faith was until I heard Kenneth and Gloria.
With the stripes that wounded Jesus, my baby was healed and made whole.
Money isn't something I spend time worrying about anymore after I dedicated our business to the Lord.
In the book Real People, Real Needs, Real Victories, read testimony after testimony of real KCM partners who overcame difficult situations by standing on God's Word. Included are true stories of faith, protection, healing, prosperity, and deliverance. Read how others saw God turn their trials into victories. Be encouraged and know that God can turn your situation around too.
If it hadn't been for Kenneth Copeland's teaching, we would have fallen apart. We were persecuted, but we know our God is true.
The Lord healed our marriage.
There are so many people who are hurting simply because they don't know what God has done for them. They are the reason that I keep telling my story.
God has given you the victory. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395 to request your free copy of Real People, Real Needs, Real Victories from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. These true stories of faith will encourage you to take God at His word and live the life He intended for you. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today's the day you're going to accept Him. And you're going to remember it. Thanksgiving Day, 2018, I was born again.
Praise God.
Today's your day, darling. Today's your day, sir. Now, in Romans chapter 10, this is so simple. Well, Brother Copeland, you just don't know what I've done. See, that what you and I have done makes no difference because Jesus has blotted out our transgressions.
Isn't that good?
God has already forgotten them. Now, what we do, we receive Jesus. See, it's what He's done
that counts.
Right.
That's right.
Everybody's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody. And it doesn't have anything to do with the size of the sin. Murderer, there are people. No, I don't go into all that. But see, sin is sin. The problem was what Adam did. Jesus, the second and the last Adam, went to hell for what he did. So you and I don't have to go.
Right.
Good. Whoa, glory to God.
So that murderer on death row doesn't have to go either.
No. Listen, I baptized a serial killer in the Bexar County Jail in San Antonio, Texas. Became a good friend of mine and was one of the strongest men. Turned down appeal and everything else. He said, no, I'm going home and be with Jesus.
I had a great meeting with the girls on death row.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Hallelujah.
Now then, Jesus has done all the hard part, everything but praying your prayer. He can't pray your prayer for you. I'm going to lead you, Gloria and I are going to lead you.
Yes, Lord.
And you do it out loud if you're where you possibly can. Oh, God in heaven.
Oh, God in heaven. I believe with all my heart.
That you have raised Jesus from the dead.
That you have raised Jesus from the dead.
Come into my heart, Lord
Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
I receive you as my Lord and my Savior.
I receive you as my Lord and my Savior.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I repent of all the wrongdoings of my life.
I repent of all the wrongdoings of my life.
And I receive my forgiveness.
And I receive my forgiveness.
Fill me, sir.
Fill me, sir.
With your precious Holy Spirit.
With your precious Holy Spirit.
I receive Him now.
I receive Him now.
I fully expect. To speak with other tongues.
To speak with other tongues.
Like they did on the day of Pentecost.
Like they did on the day of Pentecost.
My supernatural prayer language.
My supernatural prayer language.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
I receive it.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name.
Glory to God.
Welcome to the family. Listen, I want to send you this little book. It's that little teach you how to start studying your Bible. Get into it.
Study notes from the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast are available free. Download them at kcm.org/notes. To get the whole set of study notes, log in, select the broadcast week, and then click download. Receive the study notes onto your desktop, print them to use for your Bible study, or even to follow along with the speaker on the broadcast. Empower your life with the Word of God at your fingertips. Download your free study notes today.
Today is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. This gives you an opportunity to raise your income.
Amen.
Amen. So you see, today, we usually go to Galatians 6, but the Lord impressed me to go here in the 4th chapter of Mark today. Jesus said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? What's it like? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. The whole kingdom is like this, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches. The fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Can you see it? See the picture of it? You sow the little tiny seed and it grows up. The whole kingdom. You need faith, sow faith. You need love, sow love.
Yeah.
You need joy, sow joy. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's back up then and look at this. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. What do you need? You need healing? Then name this seed today your healing. You need finances? Then name the seed finances. Like you had a garden and you've got seed in this package and this is what's in there. And so you got your little stick and you stick it up. That's what I planted in that row right there. I planted my healing in there. Glory to God.
You know,
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Praise God.
I pray over this offering today. I pray over my partners. I pray over everyone in the sound of my voice and that seed that they're sowing.
Praise God.
This ministry is good ground. We see to it that it is good ground. We receive your offerings and we pray over them. This ministry prays over the givings and the sacrifices of the people that come into it. And we stand for your hundredfold return. 30, 60, one place, 90, 100-fold. And whatever area you are believing that you receive.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's been a good week. I'm telling you, together we're getting the Word of God out, and that's where your offering is coming in, getting the Word out all over this world.
Yes.
Go to church this weekend, praise God. And this is Kenneth, and this is Gloria Copeland, reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609.